The reading today is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In a favourable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favourable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation."
You got to put it on the first slide for me, mate. Apprentices. Just because they gave him burnt toast and not chocolate. God blimey, should have done that after the sermon, shouldn't I? All right. 2 Corinthians. As we continue our journey through 2 Corinthians, one of the joys of preaching through a series is you don't have to work out next week what you're going to preach on. And then it allows God to speak to us about some of the things we wouldn't necessarily choose for ourselves. So pray for me for next week. Well, you read next week's passage. But this week's not too bad. The favour of God. That's pretty cool. So let's get into it. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favour, I heard you. In the day of my salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation." I was listening to a sermon on this, and the guy said, it's kind of like this. Anyone ever been given a gift card? And it, Does anyone still have one in their drawer at home that they've forgotten is there and they haven't gone around and handed it in? It's not doing you any good while it's in the drawer. You've got to take it to the shop and spend it. See, the gift that God has given of salvation and forgiveness and all that, that card is available to each and every person. But if you don't take it up and do something with it and go, "God, I'm sorry, I want to hand this in," it doesn't do you any good. That's nothing new to anybody here, I'm sure. So that's not the emphasis of today's sermon. It's just a reminder. I tell you, now is the time of God's favour. Now. I've heard this verse a few times over my life, and you hear, now is the time, now is the day of salvation. That's a pretty common sermon, especially for evangelists. It's available now, but it will not be forever. One day, you're going to die. Sorry. Unless the rapture, but we'll get to that in a second. And once you die and stand before Jesus, there's no choices anymore. If you've accepted him, he takes you in and heaven awaits. If you've kept rejecting him, he says, "Well, I'll go with your choice. You're going to the other place." And this time is set then. But that's not now. Now we still have a choice. One day Jesus will return. He says, "That's it. I'll roll it up. The choices stop. Your choice is set." God did shut the door on the ark. Time came when he said, "You've had," in that case, 120 years of preaching. Noah's been telling you all that time. You've chosen not to listen. That's it. Time's up. But salvation is still available now. And that's a good eternal plan. But that's not the emphasis of today's message. Now is the time of God's favour. Now is the day of salvation. What does God's favour mean and look like? That's what started me thinking this week. What does God's favour look like in our lives? Last week I was preaching on all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, who God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, but entrusting us to the message of reconciliation. Same book, same passage, same author. Reconciliation. Why would we ever need reconciliation? It's not a hard question. It's not rhetorical. Why do you need reconciliation? That's with God, but with anybody. Not necessarily between you and God. Why is reconciliation needed? Because something went wrong. There's enmity between two people. There's something wrong. So God's favor can't possibly mean that nothing ever goes wrong. He offers us reconciliation because things go wrong all the time. And then, next week's passage. So following, now is the time of God's favor. Couple of verses. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves to you in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardship, and in distresses, in beatings, in imprisonments, and riots, and hard work, and sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love. I looked at that and went, oh God, I'm not looking forward to next week's preaching, by the way. But the guy who said, now is the time God's favor, says, this is what I've put up with. God's favor obviously isn't a smooth, comfortable ride all the way to heaven. So what is it? Favor. Well, the English word, something done or granted out of goodwill rather than from justice or for remuneration, a kind act. That's what I said. You got it for whatever. A friendly or well-disposed regard or goodwill. It's not malice or animosity. They're the opposites. Aren't we glad that God is not malicious towards us? Because if he was, my goodness, he could do a good job of it. The state of being approved or held in regard. Excessive kindness or unfair partiality. Preferential treatment. God does those things towards us. He's offering that regularly. Better than we deserve, better than we've earned. God brings good into our lives. The Greek word, you know how often I jump into my Greek, which is terrible. I have enough trouble with English, is charis or charis. It means grace. That which affords joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, loveliness, grace of speech, goodwill, loving kindness and favor. In the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon ourselves, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles them the exercise of Christian virtues. So God's favor is not just the whole stuff out there. It's God's favor of transforming us into something better. So I started thinking, what's God's favor look like? Who did he favor? What's the favor of God? Daniel. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 11, it says, Daniel, your God thinks highly of you. He has sent me to you. You who are highly favored in other dimensions. And then in verse 19, do not be afraid, you who are highly esteemed. Twice in the verse, in that passage, an angel who turns up and stands before Daniel and scares the bloomin' heebie-jeebies out of him and says to him, Daniel, you are highly favored. Anyone here had an angel turn up and say, you are highly favored? No, me neither. This isn't common. So Daniel obviously was. So that's one picture of what it looks like to be highly favored. So what's Daniel best known for? Lion's Den. One of God's favorites gets turfed into the lions. Did he know for certain he was not going to be eaten? No, he didn't. He said, oh, king, do what you got to do. My God's able to save me. And next morning he says, see, he did. But he didn't know that was going to happen. Another simple question. Daniel lived where most of his life? Babylon. Was he born in Babylon? No, he was taken there as a captive. So this person is highly favored. Their young life, his city gets demolished. We don't know for certain, but probably his parents were killed and he was dragged off into captivity. That's a highly favored life by most. If you ask someone nowadays, is that a favored life? He got threatened with death a few times. All sorts of things happened to Daniel. But his life, he also got to speak to kings and lead Nebuchadnezzar to the Lord. To share with others, to write stuff that thousands of years later we're still encouraged by. So the favor of God on Daniel meant that he achieved a lot in his own time and in times later by the power of God and brought good to many others, and he had good times, all right? You think that the guy who's the second in charge of the kingdom regularly under three different emperors got a dingy little hut in the corner? No. Okay, but there was also the heavyweight. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God." Another case of favor with God. So Mary found favor with God. What did that mean? Being accused of being unfaithful all her life, sleeping around. You reckon that they believed a virgin birth? Yeah, right. Having to watch her son die on a cross. There's some pretty rugged bits to Mary's life. She didn't have a smooth life. Her husband died before her son was 30. We don't know how old Joseph was. We don't know when he died. We know he was around when Jesus was 12, and we never hear about him again. If anyone's been through losing a spouse, that's tough. Mary did that. But Mary also saw her son walk out of a grave. Mary saw lots of other things. So Mary's life, she was able to share stuff. How do you think that Luke knew some of those stories? I believe because Luke sat and chatted and interviewed Mary. Right? So, the favor of God meant Mary achieved some wonderful things. Mary got to see some wonderful things, but she had some tough stuff as well. How about some other bloke called Paul? Ananias, go and heal Paul. Are you kidding, God? That guy's trying to kill us. He is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name. Paul, who is writing this, was favored by God. But he had lots of suffering. He had lots of opportunities to share Jesus. He saw some amazing results. But remember, Saul's personality was a bit different to some. He was full on. I'm going to be a Pharisee. I'm going to get it all together. I was rising in Judaism, way above my age. I was so zealous. I'm going, ooh, these guys are going to, let's go kill them. And Jesus said, hey, Saul, sit down, shut up and listen, and I'm going to close your eyes till you do. And then he goes, oh. So then gets straightened out, and he's full on for the gospel. Not everybody's the shape of Paul. Peter was one of those full-on characters too, but he did it a bit differently to Paul. Thomas, we don't hear about what Thomas did much, but he was different again. God used the personality that Paul was in the shape that Paul was to share the gospel in him, through him. He favored him. You see, God's favor comes in different shapes, but it's for the good of the kingdom. David's mighty men. You ever read about them? These characters are wild. And this guy took a spear and killed 700 Philistines by himself. They're the SAS of their day. Do you think David favoured them, thought they were pretty good? Yes, he did. They're right, they're nesters, David's mighty men. So when there was a battle on, David went, oh, these are my mighty men, I favour them, so I'll leave them behind. Heck no. They were in the front of the battle making a big fight. The favour was they had the opportunity to win battles and what they were good at and what they loved doing. Now, that's us modern Christians finding the idea of loving having a fight with a sword and killing other people really quite problematic. But that's who they were. So God's favour, David's favour to those men was to give them a sword and let them go fight. What fitted their character, their shape. So God's favour to us fits who we are. I'm going to get in trouble if you tell about this picture. But I couldn't find one of Bronnie pregnant, and I'd probably get in trouble for that one too. That's cute, Esther. I thought Bronnie was pretty cute too. But I, by the grace of God, have been privileged to marry a wonderful woman called Bronnie. But I want to tell a story that some of you may remember. I think I've told this before in different places. When we got together and we were married, Bron needs less sleep than I do. So for the first while, that wasn't too bad. We'd go to bed, I'd read for a while, fall asleep, and she'd read for a while. Then she got pregnant, which made her tireder. And one night she's there, because I had a quiet week and I was reading later, and she's like, when are you going to stop? I don't know. She said, I'm tired. Well, go to sleep. I can't. I always got to go to sleep last. And I'm like, what's wrong with you, woman? You shared a blooming womb. You'd never had a room by yourself till you left home. She goes, yeah, but I wasn't scared of Heather. Clunk. See, Bronnie's first husband used to beat her up. So after that, she was never safe to go to sleep first in her own mind. She looked at me and went, I'm not scared of you. I know you'll never beat me up. And from that moment on, she could go to sleep before I did. She doesn't very often. Now, why I tell that story is because she was carrying some hurts from bad things in her past. And that one little piece, just the realization solved it. That isn't always so easy for some of the things she struggles with. As wonderful as my wife is, every now and again we have these issues that come out of the fact that she was hurt badly by someone. Bronnie's my second wife because my first wife passed away and my first wife was abused. And it created some aspects in our marriage that were harder. And I was sitting there one day and the thought came to me, of God saying, I trusted you with two of my precious daughters that were hurt. Yes, it makes your marriage harder in some places, but it makes it better in others. I trusted you. I'm favoring you with someone that's precious to me, even though it's harder at times. Oh, thank you, God. Then he trusted me with two little boys for a season that had been hurt. There will be times in your life where God says, my favor to you, I'm trusting you in this place to walk with and be alongside and to help someone who's hurt. It's harder, but I trust you. It's a favor to you. It's a favour to them. And there'll be aspects of who they are, but there's aspects of who Bronnie is, and because of that, that's really good for me. She's pretty darn caring. The situations we're in, God gives us the strength to deal with. remember, he didn't do it to be mean to us. He did it because he's doing a whole series of things for good. The favor of God is not necessarily materially well off. Sometimes that's a side effect that God allows. It's not necessarily good health. It often is. God does care about our health. But the favor of God is that we have a hope. The favor of God is he gives us opportunities to achieve and to do good things. The favor of God is we can have his peace. Can't we, Daryl? The favor of God is that we are loved. The favor of God is that we have purpose. He's going to and wanting to and will do good things through us when we let him. So, as we finish this morning, I've got two more thoughts. The first is I want to do a little exercise. The favor of God, that concept of favor, is doing good things for us that are not earned. I believe it's absolutely true that if you think about it, you can think of some times that things have happened in your life that God has allowed and made happen that are good, that are beyond your ability to earn them. So I want you to count. I'm going to set a 1 minute timer. And I want you to count the ways that God has personally shown you favor in your life. I want you to count them on your fingers and see if anyone needs to get to their toes within a minute. Now, that's not because I believe every one of us, if our brains were clear enough, we were thinking straight enough, and we had enough time, would get past our toes. But it's just possible that in that, you've got to do it now, and there's a timer going, your brain goes blank, and you can't think of it. That's okay. God knows them, and he'll tell you sometime. But I just want you to go through this exercise of counting for 1 minute. Just think of some of the things, the ways God has shown you favor. Go. Oh, hang on. Let's change it to the right number, not 15 minutes. Okay, did anyone need their toes? Good on you. All right, there are more. It's worth remembering sometimes that God does bring good things. Yes, it's easy to see the struggles we have sometimes and the fact that God hasn't solved this situation yet. But every now and again we need to stop and go, well, there is sort of, remember that song, Count Your Many Blessings, Count Them One by One? I'll talk it, not sing it, because I like you, and I want to bless you. And it will surprise you what the Lord has done. When we remember the good things he's done, that's good. And then we remember, his favor is not about just doing it our way, it's his favor is about giving us opportunities to grow and to achieve and to do good things. In Genesis 12:2, it says, I will bless you so you will be a blessing. A big part of when God's favor is, so we can find, with his wisdom and help, ways to pass on favor to help others. What opportunities do you see? I encourage you, when you remember that God loves you, that God's worked in your favor, that there's many good things in your life, what opportunities are you seeing in your life to do good, to reflect God to others? It's different for different people. Not everybody's meant to talk it. The Bible says, when you fed me when I was hungry, when you fed the least of these, when you gave them water, you served me. Sometimes the skills, the giftings, the opportunities, the favors you've got have enabled you to pass on a feed to someone else. In Jesus' name. What opportunities do you see ahead? Not next year, but this week. And secondly, I would encourage you, are you praying to see things as opportunities? Esther having brain surgery is not great. It's not what we would pick. It's certainly not what she would pick. But sometimes we look and go, how she's done this, is there a possibility that that will speak to some of the residents and some of the other staff where she works in a way? Maybe. I don't know. God hasn't totally revealed that to me. Don't know how much he's shown that to Esther yet. But can he? Absolutely. Some of the situations we face are not great. Some of them are downright ugly. Remember that God, in his mercy, his grace, his favor, says, I can get you through it. And I can use it for something good. So whatever situations we're facing, my prayer for us today is that you see them, but God, by his Spirit, help you to see, us to see, how that really cool thing that's happening in our life can be used for him. How that ordinary, step-by-step, faithful journey, a long, slow journey in the right direction can be used for him. How that really difficult thing, if we commit it to God, help us to see how he can use it. Lord, we want your glory in our lives. We want your favor because we desperately need it. We can't survive without it. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, help us to see where your favor is, because that's not what our world's telling us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.